Physicist David Borton is back with another segment of Equality Under the Law, Practical Physics. This week, he and WOOC correspondent Megan Marone speak about whether poets can get it right when it comes to adding physics to poetry.
We're back with Dr. David Borton. How are you, David?
I'm very good. How are you, Megan? You look great.
I'm doing well. And you have an exciting artifact here. I don't know why I'm calling it an artifact, because that implies something old, and this is quite new. This is Boating Magazine.
Boating on the Hudson and Beyond. It's the July-August issue, and Solar Sail 44 is on the cover.
Yeah, it's an absolutely beautiful cover, and your wife took this photo?
Yes, she was in a boat. Solar Sail 44 was launched into the Rondout Creek at Kingston, and we went out in a boat, and my wife snapped this picture, and it ended up on the cover.
Cool. So what is going on with Solar Sail 44?
Well, just recently, the solar panels got put on the roof, and there's some paint being done on the inside and the decks, and there's some wiring that has to be done. So there's a few things to tidy up and finish up the construction of the boat.
And when will the boat be in Troy?
Ah, good question. I wish I knew the answer to that. But the plan is certainly to get it to Troy sometime.
In August?
Oh, look, I can't begin to answer that question.
It's okay. Well, you know, a person can dream. Well, we had this idea together. I guess it was originally, I don't know, this interdisciplinary idea, because you have, you know, Dr. David Borton, professor of physics, solar boat builder, in conversation with a human who has a lot more knowledge on poetry than on physics. So would you go through some poetic verses? And, well, the first verse that I wanted to throw out was one that I wanted to know the truth on. So can we throw out a verse of poetry and then get your opinion on the actual physics that is being discussed?
I'm sure, but the thing is that poetry is poetry, and I'm not sure I'll be able to comment intelligently.
Oh, you definitely will.
Okay.
It's clear. Yes. And you're verifying truth. You could say that poetry gets at a different kind of truth, or truth in another way. You can give us the truth, little t truth, of the physics law that is being referenced.
I can try to do that.
Okay. So the first line of poetry is from the harpist Joanna Newsom, and she has a love song to her sister called Emily. It's quite beautiful because she's honoring the fact that her sister went down the road of finding the truth of existence in scientific terms, whereas she went down the road of trying to find meaning and truth in her life in terms of, you know, musical expression and poetry, and therefore less linear and more creative and emotional processes of discovering truth and meaning. So within this song, she repeats a line in which she says, "The meteorite is the source of the light, and the meteor is just what we see. And the meteoroid is the stone that's devoid of the fire that propelled it to thee."
So the light didn't propel it. Gravity propelled it, and momentum. But aside from that, that's a pretty good poem.
So is that the correct definition of a meteorite, though? Is that, so in other words, she's saying that there are different words for the same object flying through space and time. So while it's lit up, it's a meteorite. Meteoroid is the fallen object that we find on the ground. Is that correct?
Close enough, yes.
Okay. So are you game for one more poetic reference to a scientist?
Let's try it.
Okay, so here's our last physics reference. It's a poem called Cosmic Gall by John Updike. Neutrinos, they are very small. They have no charge and have no mass and do not interact at all. The Earth is just a silly ball to them through which they simply pass, like dust maids down a drafty hall or photons through a sheet of glass. So what do you think of neutrinos? And does John Updike have it correct?
He's got it close enough. They actually do interact a little bit, because you've seen a picture of a neutrino interacting in a bubble chamber. But the thing that's, I think, significant here is that you and me are not solid. We are mostly space.
Mm-hmm.
And the atoms that make us up are mostly space. And yet, we're not aware of that. These things are so small, and the interaction of light with us makes us look like we're solid, and the interaction of gravity with us makes us feel like we're solidly attached to the Earth, and if something hits us or runs into us, we feel pretty solid. But we're not, and we're all pretty much accustomed to X-rays. X-rays go through us and probably show the difference between bones and flesh in our body. They pass through us, and we're not aware of it. Neutrinos are sort of like that, but much, much more non-interacting. They really don't interact with us. They just go right through us in the space that is most of us.
So why should we know about neutrinos?
Oh, well, there are lots and lots of neutrinos, and it's a really interesting question of physics as to how many there are in the universe and where they come from and where they're going and what we can do to interact with them. Gravity waves are something that go through us all the time, and we're just now beginning to be able to detect them. And if we could detect neutrinos better, then we might learn more about where neutrinos come from and how they interact with the larger universe.
Interesting.
We don't need to worry about it. Unless a neutron star explodes near us or black holes coalesce near us, you know, if there's a major cataclysmic thing close to us, then we're worried about it. But these things typically happen many, many light years from where we are.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Borton. Do you have any final news or updates for people along the Hudson River?
The Hudson River is so beautiful, and it's such a part of nature for people to sit around the river, sit by a fire. That's the way we evolved, and summer is a great time to do it. So enjoy. Thank you, Megan.
That was local scientist, educator, and solar boat builder David Borton and WOOC correspondent Megan Marone with Equality Under the Law, Practical Physics.